Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Talk New York sports on The Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
To save his life, call his wife.
And what a great morning it is. Here in the greatest city in the world, 4:06 in the morning. We're coming off the joy of a Yankee victory. They go up 2-0 in Kansas City. They got drop pop-ups. We got home runs from Aaron Judge. We got great bullpen performances. We got a manager who's managing his ass off, who the fan base can't stand. Doing a phenomenal job. Making every right decision, even while the team's not playing as crisp as they can. They are dominating this series, beating up on the Cleveland Guardians, who tried everything they could, pulled out all the stops to try and steal a victory in the Bronx and even up the series, and were unable to do so. The Yankees with a 6-3 victory. We've been spending a lot of time on it this morning. Big moments. They're still making boneheaded plays on the base path. They're still struggling for the most part with running scoring position. They got benefit of a drop pop-up, an inexcusable drop pop-up in the first inning that allowed a run to score. But still, a lot of good bats up and down the lineup. Rizzo has been really key coming back, and the trust of the manager to go to him. Clay Holmes and the trust in the manager to go to him. This bullpen's been lights out, even with a shaky starting pitcher. And let's be honest, Cole was everything about the word shaky last night. Unable to get through five, left in a tight spot. But in comes Clay Holmes, have no fear. And the New York Yankees get another victory. Judge hopefully hits a home run at the end of the game, which hopefully will get him going. And we are two wins away from the Yankees being in the World Series, and we are three wins away from the New York Mets being in the World Series, as Game 3 of this tied series starts tonight at 8 o'clock. It will be Severino against Walker Buehler. And this is obviously a swing game. I mean, you know, Joe Torre used to talk about the third game of a series. This is a very important game back in this building in front of this home crowd that we know is going to be loud, that we know is going to be ruckus. And this Met team coming off an impressive win in Game 2 and bouncing back and doing what they do best, which is getting off the deck and not allowing the previous game to linger. Hell, they don't let innings linger. Like, they've done a really nice job of consistently bouncing back from game to game, inside a game, inning to inning, pitcher to pitcher. They've just done a really great job. And right now, against this Dodger team, who is completely different than the Cleveland Guardians, we know that Walker Buehler was not good in his first start. They're throwing bullpen games at you. They aren't at full strength. I think the Mets are every bit as good, but they are still the Los Angeles Dodgers, who have a literal Hall of Fame caliber, top of the order, 1-2-3. And this New York Mets team is going to have to do what it's been doing and continue to pitch. I mean, I think that's still the key for the Mets. I understand the offense and how, you know, incredible it's been, and the home run from Lindor at the start of the game the other day was so important to, you know, immediately wash the bad taste out of the mouth of game one, and that, you know, debacle's probably a bit strong, but just a solid ass kicking. They got their ass kicked in game one. It happens. They haven't really had their ass kicked in this postseason. Most of the losses have been of the gut-wrenching, venue. More so, I mean, there's only been a couple of them, but even the losses they had were games where they were leading early in the game and, you know, the bullpen would blow it. They didn't really have to deal with getting their ass kicked. And at the start of the series, to get your ass kicked like that, it makes you wonder whether or not you're up for this task. You're up for playing the Dodgers in the NLCS. And they showed with that home run and then the intentional walk to Lindor and the Vientos Grand Slam showed they are. Manaea pitched very well, didn't go deep into the game, but pitched very well. The bullpen did its job. And now they are looking at a game three to try to take the advantage in this series, keep the home field advantage in their back pocket, put forth another good pitching performance from Severino, because again, the offense really hasn't, other than, you know, game two, where they get the grand slam and the runs early. A lot of these games have been kind of either missing opportunities or kind of being quiet at the start of the game. You do not want to fall behind the Los Angeles Dodgers. You don't want that top of the order to get going here in this series. Severino, early in this game, I think is going to be very important to establish the strike zone. You know, you don't want to put these guys on. The ability to run the bases, not Freeman necessarily, but obviously Ohtani on the base path. Once he gets on first, there's a good chance he's taking second. You want to limit the top of this order. That's the key to beating this team. And for Severino to get back on the deck, take this team off a day off, and get right back out there to pitching well and establishing a lead in this game would be huge. I think you'll find out early on in this game who's gonna win it. And I know that's odd to say considering how the Mets have won all these games, but I don't know if you can continue to rely on the heroics. Not that I don't continue to rely on good at-bats or continue to rely on being able to slow the moment down and coming through in clutch situations, but you want to jump out to a lead. It's still baseball. I know the Mets have kind of bucked that trend, but you still want to jump out to a lead, and you want to quiet. That first inning can be so loud from this Dodger team. Like you, if he struggles with his command early on, and we all know pitchers of any caliber, and certainly the caliber of Severino, can be a little off, you know, he hasn't pitched in a while. First inning against that top of the order, I think we will find out in the first two innings, how Severino's going to go, how many innings he's going to get you is imperative, because I don't know if you really have that many guys you fully trust in this bullpen. You know, Maton was a little bit shaky, but he's been the guy. Buto is clearly rested and ready to go. Diaz is rested and give you some innings. But you're going to need some depth from Severino. You're going to have to get through that top of the order, and ultimately you'd like to take a lead and keep the good feelings flowing from what was a very good performance in Game 2, getting off the deck after a bad one in Game 1. But this is a series. The difference in these two series right now is it really feels like the Yankees are about to have a short one. Whatever happens in Game 3, because I fully believe even if the Mets lose and drop Game 3, they are not going to go off and hide. They are not going to tuck their tail between their legs and go home. They're going to fight, and they're going to claw, and they're going to make a series of this thing, because they are right there with the Dodgers. Whatever happens, this is going to be a long, hard-fought series where you listen, I'm not going to call the series over, but the Yankees, the way they've played, and hopefully with Judge getting hot here, and the starting pitching of the Cleveland Guardians, you really, and the way things went in this game in particular, where they threw out all of the stops, they went to their best reliever in the second inning. They went to their best pinch hitter in the fourth inning. They allowed a miserable bottom of the order backup catcher to be there throughout the game. Like they pulled out all the stops to try and keep the game at bay, keep that game close, and they were unable to do it. And if they can't win that game with a shaky Cole on the mound, with their ace starting for them, who didn't go two innings in this game, like it just feels like if they can't win that game, I'm not sure how they could beat the Yankees other than Clark Schmidt just having nothing and giving up a ton of runs, or Luis Gil having nothing and giving up a ton of runs. But they've established dominance in that series, and there's a chance it's a short one. You are in. Buckle up, Met fans, because whatever happens tonight, this is a long series against this Dodgers team who's damn good. 888-808-1019. So let's focus on the baseball. Well, you can call me with the injury news to Andrew Thomas and obviously the Jets trade for Devontae Adams. 888-808-1019. Danny and Belrose. What's up, Danny?
Hey, good morning, Chris. What's going on?
Good morning, Danny.
Hey, I'm good. great win for the Yankees. You know, I know it was a little rough on Judge yesterday, but you know what? Great home run. He said the ghost came out, you know, in the Monument Park, so that was good. That was great. Can't complain about that.
Listen, him, let's be honest. They might. I didn't know if they could. I wasn't sure. I know all the talk about how bad the American League Central was and what a cakewalk it was going to be for the Yankees and blah, 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 that I'm still hearing now. I'm getting it bombarded with it on Twitter. I wasn't sure that they could win this series without Judge doing much. I thought Judge would still have to be close to Judge, hit some home runs, drive in some runs, be a force in the middle of that lineup if they were going to win this series. And it feels like now that maybe, although I don't want to find out, they're still good enough top to bottom. The bottom of the order is doing enough. The bullpen's been so damn freaking good. They still have Juan Soto. They still have Giancarlo Stanton. Rizzo's added so much. Volpe's having the best at-bats he's had really all season. Like, there's probably enough there, even without Judge going off, to still win this series. After that, again, I will start the series saying what I said to start this series. They're going to need Judge. So hopefully that home run gets them going, even if it doesn't mean all that much over the next two, three, four games, whatever it's going to take to hopefully knock off Cleveland Guardians. Moving forward, you are going to need Judge in the World Series, or they probably won't win because the level of competition is going to jump up dramatically.
Yeah, 100%. At least the guy's getting on base. He's getting his walks.
He has been.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I'm excited. I can see the game. I can see the series at worst going six games, but I would like to see it five.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I don't want to. Yeah, I would think the goal should be not to have to come back to the Bronx. I mean, they should be able to get two out of three there. You got Matthew Boyd starting for Cleveland in game three. You're going to have Clark Schmidt for the Yankees, who I trust. Like, that's the thing. Clark Schmidt, I trust him. Is he going to give you the dominance that was that great performance in game one from Rodon? No, probably not. But I think he's going to keep you in the game. I mean, that's what Clark Schmidt does. He's going to give you five innings, two or three runs. It's not world beater. It doesn't make me feel like, oh, there's no way you can lose that game. But at the same time, this offense should be able to come through against Boyd, who's been solid, but ultimately, you know, had a year or two in Detroit earlier in his career. But somebody the Yankees should be able to hit. Just as, like, they should have been able to hit Alex Cobb, just as they should have been able to get to the ace and Bibee, which they did, and knocked him out. I guess that might set him up for an earlier start. I have no idea. But they don't have the pitching to match up. And the back end of the bullpen's great. If they get to it, which they haven't been able to get to it, Class A still hasn't pitched in the series through two games. So, obviously, I hope the home run opens up Judge. Obviously, I want this offense to be better with runners in scoring position. Obviously, I want to stop the running into outs on the base path. Obviously, all of those things probably need to happen to end this series quickly, but they will definitely need to happen if they're lucky enough to make it to the World Series. Bernadette and Betham. What's up, Bernadette?
Bethlehem. Hi, Chris. How are you?
I said Betham. I don't know why I said Betham. You're not from Betham. You're from Bethlehem.
No, Bethlehem.
Yes.
Yeah, Bethlehem. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good.
Are you killing? Are you killing time?
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay. Because I heard that's what they do out in Bethlehem.
No, not at all. No, it's cool.
That's what Billy Joel told me. So I don't know.
Yeah, well, he said about Allentown, I think.
Well, that's the name of the song, but I think it's in Bethlehem, they're killing time. I think that's the lyric of the song. He definitely mentions Bethlehem.
Oh, you might be right. Yeah, I think you're right.
Oh, I mean, you guys don't have, that's not on the state flag that's not on the city flag or on the city signs. You've now entered Bethlehem, once mentioned in a Billy Joel song. Not?
They might. You know, I never paid attention.
I would look for it, Bernadette. Actually, I would look for it.
I'm going to look for it. I have to. Well, I was just saying, I am from the Bronx, but I live in Bethlehem. But yeah, I want to go back to what you were saying about the Yankees and the Mets, because for the Yankees, I'm a Yankee fan. My husband's from Queens. He's a Mets fan. So I'm kind of like Mets fan adjacent, but I'm a fan of the Yankees. But for the Yankees right now, they're always expected to do good. You know what I mean? And the Mets, they're like, their franchise is, you know, they've had a lot of ups and downs. So like right now, they got a lot going on. You know, Lindor's a stud. Mm-hmm. You got Alonso that, you know, he got his bat back. You know what I mean? He's a slugger. That's what he does. You know, you got Iglesias and his OMG song. You got the pumpkin. You got Grimace.
You got the pumpkin.
There's so much stuff going on. You got to be excited for them.
Of course.
You know what I mean?
Of course I
think,
know
in all honesty, yeah, and I think in game one, no offense to Carlos Mendoza, but I don't think putting Senga to pitch was a good idea. You know what I mean? He doesn't have it yet. He's been out for so long. I think they should have started with Minaya. I think he had enough rest days.
Yeah.
And I think that had they started him in game one, he'd be rested. If we had to go to game seven, he would be rested enough to do game seven. So I think there's a lot of fun going on with the Mets right now. They just got a lot of things. So I think it's fun.
Of course, Bernadette, and thank you for the call. There's a lot of fun going on with the Mets. And I don't know, listen, you could rehash the decision to go with Senga in game one. They did have other options. I've been on the bandwagon of, I wouldn't have even put him on the roster necessarily. I wouldn't have given him starts, not against Philadelphia. I mean, I guess Philadelphia, you could argue they didn't have much of a better option other than guys who've earned it. Like, that's, to me, the thing is, the Mets established something. The Mets established who they are. I know that's kind of more of a football thing necessarily, like who you are, what's your foundation, what kind of team are you? Those are things that are asked of football teams more than baseball necessarily, but the Mets have been predicated on holding people accountable and giving people what they deserve. And if you don't deserve time, you don't get it. If you do deserve time, you get it. That's what they've been, you know. And I think because of the counterpoint Yankees, it's perceived that's not the case with the New York Yankees. It was kind of something that we latched onto here as a city about this team. And with through no fault of his own, Kodai Senga hasn't earned a damn thing. He just hasn't. He hasn't earned the right to get those starts. David Peterson has. Now, you want to talk about the ability of having him as a weapon out of the bullpen and how useful that can be? I get it. But even Tyler McGill, who nobody trusts, has earned that start. Kodai Senga for 30 pitches or 40 pitches in game one of the NLDS, and now, you know, 50 or 60 or whatever was plausible before getting knocked out in the second inning of game one of the NLCS, didn't seem like a great idea to me. But as it played out and as it turned out, you know, if you pitch Minaya, maybe you don't win. If you pitch Minaya in game one, you get shut down the same way you did. You end up losing that game anyway. And then Senga puts you behind the eight ball in game two. And no matter how many runs you score, it's not enough in game two. They could be 0-2 if they switch those pitchers. Theoretically, it's possible. Whatever the case may be moving forward, I think most of the pitching matchups will favor the Mets in this long series. Whether it's whatever they do with Senga, whether it's Minaya, whether it's Severino, whether it's Quintana, whoever it is, I really feel like for the most part, they're going to have a good advantage in the pitching department. Where, although it was successful for a while for the Dodgers, they're throwing bullpen games at you, man. They're a $300-plus million team throwing bullpen games. I know it's a lot because of injuries, but the Mets have every opportunity to win this series. And you're right, there's a lot of fun stuff. There's a lot of fun stuff going on around with this team, but for me, I put all that crap aside. I don't care about Grimace. I don't care about OMG either. I know it's fun, and if I was a Mets fan, maybe I'd get into it. I don't know. Nestor Cortez tried to sell me on a turtle a few years ago. I wasn't buying. I like fun stuff, I suppose, but, and I'm not trying to say that the turtle's the same as OMG, but I don't care about that. What I care about is miraculous home runs. What I care about is coming through every big opportunity. What I care about is your young stud third base becoming a force out in the playoffs, hitting grand slams, hitting home runs all over the place, even losing efforts hitting miracle home runs. Like, that's the stuff that excites me. I don't care about the dopey song. When the season's over, I won't care about the images of them after a win against the Houston Astros out there watching Pete Alonso clap off beat, singing OMG to the Mets faithful. Like, that I don't care about. I don't care about a purple seat out in the stands. I don't care about Grimace showing up at every single watch party I see on social media or, you know, outside partying City Field. Like, I don't care about any of that. What I care about is the way this team is pitched. I care about how unbelievably well they've come through it every time that they've faced adversity. I care about all the miraculous rallies and home runs that they've hit over the course of this stretch. That's what I care about, and that's what I continue to see from this team. And that's why I have faith in them that whatever happens today, that they will bounce back from it. Or they will take a lead and put the screws to the Dodgers, who have historically, over the last few years, not performed well when placed under pressure in these series. I mean, they were down two to one against San Diego. They were able to come back and pitched extremely well. That lineup went cold. I don't think the Met lineup will go cold. We'll find out. Big game tonight. And actually, I'll be on with you. We'll be riding alongside as I'll be filling in for Keith later today. So I'll see you instead of 2 a.m. I will, or midnight for a midnight ride. I will see you at 7 p.m. sharp. We'll do some other we'll get to the Mets early and preview the game. When the Mets are on at 8, I know typically we don't ride along in games, and I'm not saying I will, you know, ride along with it exactly. But we'll break in with some news if you want to listen along with me. If you hate the broadcast, if you're convinced that the national broadcasters hate your team, if you hate John Smoltz, tune in.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We'll have some fun.
Stuck in traffic and need to vent? Dial the fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
All right, 4:32. McMonagle here with you. And as we start to, you know, preview a little bit of Game 3 tonight, I guess there's some sentiment about, despite the OMG nature of this team, you are seeing worse at-bats from Iglesias. Iglesias has started to struggle a little bit. You saw it in the Philadelphia series. A couple of times with the bases loaded, he came up in those spots and really just flailed at it and, you know, didn't give his typical. I mean, he was so hot for so long with the long hitting streak. And I really felt like when Jeff McNeil went down, I remember me and Fleegs talking about this, when McNeil went down, it was almost like, not that you're happy, you'd never be happy someone's injured, nor did you assume that Jeff McNeil couldn't help them and that this injury didn't matter at all. The benefit of it is it established Iglesias as your second baseman. And it just settled the team. One way or another, the situation was settled, and Iglesias was so freaking good that it solved an issue of instability, and, you know, the manager was trying to shuffle it and juggle it, and it just led to indecision. And when he went down with the injury, the wrist injury, it was like, okay, well, that's easy. Iglesias is the second baseman. But now that he's on the roster and healthy enough to play, is there a argument to be made to play Jeff McNeil second base? I still wouldn't do it. I think Iglesias has been a real big part of this team. And I would need to see more. I would need to fall behind. The offense did just score some runs. I don't want to make that move just yet. Please, come on. Fliegelman has an opinion on it. Just, you know.
So I want to give you one reason why you're right.
Okay.
Take a shot at Jose Iglesias' batting average at Citi Field this year in the regular season? Taking out the postseason, he's 2-for-7 with a big RBI hit.
Yeah. His batting average at Citi Field is probably...
So it's 292 on the road.
Okay.
In 37 games at Citi Field, 28 starts. So 190 at-bats.
His batting average is... I mean, so it's got to be...
Right, so if I gave you 292 on the road, you can guess.
Yeah, that's like 328, 330?
404. 999 OPS.
Yeah.
He's your starting second baseman.
Yes, I agree. And I don't even need that. But yes. In that building with this team, I just think it's too much. You would have to be in a worse off position than tied 1-1 after scoring a bunch of runs in game two for me to suddenly go off on that. It's about deserve. And again, Jeff McNeil got hurt, but Iglesias deserves this run. He does. 888-808-1019. Richard in Manhattan. What's up, Rich?
Chris, if it ain't broke, you don't fix it. 1-1, they're so lucky. Are you crazy?
I hear
1-1.
You.
1-1.
There's been a little bit of talk about it, though. Okay, yes.
Because people have nothing else to talk about. That's another thing.
Thank God that's the case, or I wouldn't have a job. What do you got?
Yeah, that's true. Good. Chris, as far as the Mets, if they win this series, this will be one of the greatest things that ever happened, ever, in postseason baseball. Starting Senga, and you hit on it. Starting Senga, they got shut out. Now, of course, you could say if Minaya pitched, they might not have gotten that beat that bad.
No,
I don't believe it. They were ready to get shut out, and they didn't waste the pitcher. They're all set up now. They have home field advantage. Now, here's my second point. Chris, if it was up to me in my world, what Major League Baseball is saying is the first 130 games in baseball mean nothing, really nothing. Home field doesn't mean that much because if you look at the records now, it's almost 50%. Now, in my world, what they would do in this round, the first three games would be at Yankee Stadium and the first three games would be at Dodger Stadium. Next to it at Citi Field, next to in Cleveland, and then the last two at Yankee Stadium and at Dodger Stadium. In other words, 5 out of the 7 games should go to the team that had the better regular season record.
I just find your
you're
argument.
You're saying the regular season doesn't mean anything. No. Now, in retrospect,
okay.
Home field, rest, we don't even know how much it means. But well, there has to be something tangible to playing 100. The last 30 games, whoever gets hot is the better team, really.
I get you. I understand that. But I don't understand your argument. You come on and you tell me home field advantage doesn't matter, that the games are played and it's 50-50, the road team wins the game. So your idea of the advantage is to give more home games to the team? You just told me that doesn't matter. You literally started your point with the home field doesn't matter. The games are 50-50. So the road team has the same amount of opportunity to win the game as the home team does. It hasn't, home field advantage hasn't meant anything. And then your idea to help that is to give a team more home games. I don't understand the logic because you told me it doesn't matter to play at home. So why would I think I'm going to change that by giving them more home games? I don't know. Mark in California. What's up, Mark?
What's going on, Chris?
What's up?
So, listen, I mean, we're going. The Yankees are there, man, and it's very exciting. You saw it today when Judge hit the home run at the end. I love how Soto and Judge are just so, like you're seeing this now. Like, he's not going nowhere, bro. All the talk of him going to the Mets. And
I'm
Cohen
not. I can't focus on that now, Mark. You just said it. We're 2 wins away from going to the World Series. I'm not focused on where Soto. I'm not looking for clues. I guess the afternoon show was looking for what clues Juan Soto sending to the bullpen. I don't care about clues. I don't care about innuendos.
Right.
I don't have to read between the lines, my friend. Yeah, they're 2 wins away from the World Series. I don't care.
2 wins, bro. And for me, as Mets fans, listen, I would love nothing more than a Mets-Yankee series. But this is personal. I want the Dodgers. I want them so bad because, listen, I want to beat the best, bro. I don't want to just say, well, because everyone's saying the run that we're on is so easy. We're going through Kansas City. We're going through Cleveland. Cleveland won 98 games. There's nothing easy about Cleveland.
No, they didn't.
Were,
they didn't win 98? They did not win 98. No, I believe they won 92. I know for a fact they won less than 94 because these two first games were played at Yankee Stadium, and the Yankees won 94. So, okay,
so 94 wins is still 94 wins. They still competed in the Central. At the end of the day, there's nobody there outside of Minnesota.
Mark, both can be true. They are not the worst team ever. Don't listen to the morons who are going to tell you that the Cleveland Guardians suck. They're terrible. What a joke. What a laughing stock. It's embarrassment. The American League is a joke. You know, all that. That's all BS. It's all BS. It is true, however, that in my mind, certainly, and considering their history with said team, the Yankees did luck out that the Houston Astros, that they are playing in ALCS for the first time since 2013-12, whatever it was, against the Tigers. They're playing in ALCS and not having to face the Houston Astros. Like, I believe the Houston Astros are a better team, no matter what the records were. I believe they're a more dangerous team. I do think that the Yankees got a pathway to a championship or to back to a World Series in an easier manner than it might have been. That doesn't mean Cleveland sucks. It doesn't mean the Yankees deserve no credit for beating them. It doesn't mean any of that. Don't listen to the nonsense. But the Yankees are clearly better. I think that's it. The Yankees are clearly better. You would have to be a real hell of a Cleveland Guardian fan with your head up your you know what to try and tell me they're better than the Yankees. You can make a case. The Baltimore Orioles and their fan base could make a case that the Orioles are better than the Yankees. I don't think it would have held water, but they could have made it. They beat them this over the course of the regular season more than the Yankees beat them. They're young and talented. They won the division last year. La, 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 la. I don't care to make that case, but you could make it. And you certainly could make the case that the Houston Astros and their playoff prowess and getting to the ALCS all these years in a row, if they would have gotten to it again, it would have made 8 years in a row. The history of how well they played in the postseason. They've got, you know, really great hitters in Alvarez and Tucker. Not to mention, obviously, you know who. Altuve, Bregman, guys who have consistently performed in the postseason. You can make the case that they own the Yankees and they're the better team. For the first time in a while, the Yankees are playing clearly teams who aren't as good as they are. And that doesn't matter because they've played they've played six games and they've won five of them. They've lost one playoff game. I don't care who they're playing. That's impressive. They've won five of six. So don't listen to the noise that Cleveland's crap. But at the same time, it is fair to say, we all did at the start of this thing, it's a pathway and their best pathway to get back to the World Series. And they're taking advantage of it. They don't deserve to be minimized for taking advantage of it.
Talk New York sports on The Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
All right, 10 minutes left. We'll try and get through as many calls as we can. A lot going on. Yankees take a 2-0 lead. Aaron Judge breaks through with the big home run to give them a 4-run lead at the time. Blow the game open a bit. Much needed. Just good to see. The bullpen does what it does. The manager is having one hell of a postseason, man. I can't stop talking about Aaron Boone. It's all I want to talk about is Aaron Boone. What a great job Aaron Boone is doing. Whether it's first base, left field, going to Clay Holmes, and really what he's done with Clay Holmes. Clay Holmes was a defeated man. Clay Holmes lost his job. Clay Holmes led the world in blown saves and stuck with him. Now the guy's a dominant force coming in and getting every big out. He's pitched in every postseason game. He's come in every big situation. Whenever the Yankees in the middle of the game need outs to, you know, either protect the lead, keep them in the game, whatever the case may be, there's Clay Holmes coming in getting the most important outs of the game. It's a remarkable job. No, you can't play Rizzo. His broken fingers. Oh, no, Birdie's been good. Nope, let's go with Rizzo. Smacking the ball all over the place. It's just been a wild ride for Aaron Boone. Love seeing it. We'll get ready for a game 3 tomorrow. We get ready for a Game 3 tonight. Mets and Dodgers. Talked a lot about that. I want to see them get out to an early lead. I know they've had heroics, and I wouldn't feel like the game is over if they don't. But I want to see Severino pitch well to the top of this order. I want to see him get through the first couple innings. He had that shaky first postseason start this year against Milwaukee. I don't want to see that again. I'd like to see them get right back on the horse after, you know, doing what they did in Game 2, scoring all those runs early, the leadoff home run from Lindor. That's what I want to see from the Mets tonight. And then the football story, obviously Devontae Adams gets the trade, coming over to the Jets, joining up forces with Aaron Rodgers. Even at 2-4, this season isn't over. And I was talking about it with Fliegelman. If they would have won this game against Buffalo, which they had every opportunity to, there'd be some real buzz around this trade. Instead, the talk is, ugh, it's not going to help this. It's not going to help that. Doesn't change the fact they can't do this. It's never wrong to get better at anything, especially when you're in a win-or-die season, when you're in a must-win season for the GM, for the quarterback, for the franchise. Oh, and then, you know, the Giants' best player and left tackle might be gone for the season. So, good stuff. We get to Brett in Long Island. What's up, Brett?
Hey, Chris, you already know I'm in 11 online social media groups.
I do know
I'm
that.
I'm also in 4 texting threads with friends. I'm going to do that.
Okay.
And for the first time in my life, it's to the core, I'm rooting against the Jets hard. I know you can do both, and
yep,
you know, you want the Jets, you want the Giants, you want the Eagles, you want the Cowboys. I know how you do it.
I want the Eagles.
I
and
hate
Cowboys.
The Jets right now.
Yeah.
I think Aaron Rodgers is an old, washed up, looks like he can't get out of the pocket quarterback.
Okay.
They got rid of their horrible coach. They're going to be 2-4 this week. And all I'm hearing out of you this morning is if. What about the Giants? They're the same record, and if they would have had a kicker,
yeah,
right? If they would have made a couple of plays against the Cowboys, but you're already talking about what we're going to do next year now. Why is that?
Well, because they just lost. Well, the difference is because you might think they have a washed-up bum as a quarterback, and that's fair, and you might end up being right. I still think you have one of the handful of greatest quarterbacks I've ever seen play the game. They just added a wide receiver who hit, the two of them were a dynamic duo. And the idea that defensively they probably have a better roster than the Giants do, and they have they have more talent.
The Jets were supposed to go to the Super Bowl this year, right?
Correct,
you
correct.
Said it. Everybody, they're 2-4. The
Giants
weren't even supposed to make the playoffs.
True.
And Daniel Jones is outplaying Aaron Rodgers.
I don't know about that.
Look at the stats, game to game.
Yep.
Get back to me on that. I know you like to look. He's actually outplaying Rodgers. Rodgers didn't do good at all against Denver.
He hasn't
been playing great. He had a decent game the other night. Right, mm-hmm. But he hasn't been playing good.
He had one good.
He gets the pass. I don't get
because
it.
He's Aaron Rodgers. It's not that hard.
Yeah, but it's what you do now. That's your whole thing. What do you do now?
That's my whole thing.
Now he's bad. He's not.
That's
good.
My whole thing. That's
you know,
the,
like
I have
we,
that
we
sign hanging outside my house.
Year,
it's what you do now.
Daniel Jones 2 years ago, right? We're talking about now. Okay, now
right.
The Jets are a bad team. They actually never been in the playoffs at all, and yet they're going to go to Super Bowl. I'm just sick and tired of hearing that.
I hear you.
They get the pass with the Giants don't.
I never gave them a pass.
It makes sense, Chris.
I never gave them a pass. What do you mean?
You're talking about the Jets now.
Because they traded for a player that is...
They're still good. Devontae Adams is going to make a difference.
Yes.
And block.
Again, here we go. I know. He doesn't block. He doesn't do this. I get it. What I'm saying is yes, I still look to get better because they don't have, you talk about the expectations, they don't have a choice. They have to do, they're all in to win. The Giants aren't all in to win. They're still in some ways a rebuilding mode. They don't know what they're going to do with quarterback next year. If Aaron Rodgers wants to play next year, he's the quarterback of the Jets. They made an all-in move to go try and win. So you accrue as much good talent as you can to try and turn this thing around. The Giants aren't in the same position. They're not.
And you're not worried about Aaron Rodgers getting hurt?
Of course I'm. No,
too.
I'm not worried about Aaron Rodgers getting hurt.
He looks like he's one hit away from getting injured.
Definitely
true. What are you watching?
Yeah. When did I say he wasn't? What are you talking
it's
about?
Just the way
you're trying
talking
to make,
about
no.
them.
You think
the Jets are going to go to the playoffs? Yes or no? I think you think that, right?
I think the Jets have a better chance to go to the playoffs than the Giants do, yes.
No, do you think they're going to make the playoffs? Yes or no? Right now. Are they going to make the playoffs?
Yeah, why not? Yes.
What?
There you go. Yes,
yeah,
I do.
See,
I think
exactly.
They're going to make the playoffs.
Stop it, you're right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you make
because
yeah,
I think they're better.
Going, man. You have a good day, man.
You too,
you're
buddy.
You're kidding me.
No, I'm not kidding you, Brett. You weirdo. I don't know. You see the world through these Daniel Jones glasses. You and your 11 social media outlets and whatever else you're dealing with, the 4 group threads. I mean, who talks like this? You see the world through a Daniel Jones lens. I'm not. This has nothing to do with Daniel Jones. The Jets has nothing to do with Daniel Jones. And if you can't see why one quarterback deserves the benefit of the doubt, or at least in my eyes deserves the benefit of the doubt, over Daniel Jones, are you serious? Why Aaron Rodgers doesn't deserve the, you know, coming off an Achilles injury 5 games into a season, why you can't see how I could be willing to give Aaron Rodgers arguably the second or third greatest quarterback I've ever seen play the game? Like, I can't give him the benefit of the doubt, but I got to give the same guy making the same mistakes, throwing the bad interceptions while he got hit, you know, doing the same stuff we've seen over and over from Daniel Jones. When's the last time, you want to talk about the playoffs, I understand the Jets making the playoffs. When's the last time an Aaron Judge-led team won 5 games? When's the last time? Because that's all Daniel Jones teams do. Year after year after year. There was that one brief year of 9 wins. And you hold on to it with every inch of strength, every ounce of strength that you have. Like, stop. Come on. And yeah, I believe the Jets have the better roster, and I believe the Jets have the better Hall of Fame quarterback, and I believe they just added another player, and I saw reasons why the offense can go out and win. And right now, it's an uphill battle at 2-4. And I, under no circumstance, first of all, I came on after the game and killed them and talked about how disappointing it is to still have the same crap holding them back. But, like, I hate the narrative of bringing in this player doesn't help all the other negative stuff. Of course. Nobody's suggesting it does, but you know what? That's how it works. Bringing in Juan Soto didn't help the pitching staff. It still helps the Yankees. Juan Soto won't help the Mets bullpen if he comes and signs a free agent next year or fix the rotation that right now doesn't have any pitchers lined up for it. Doesn't mean it won't help them. Bringing in this quarterback when clearly the relationship between the wide receivers and the quarterback have been an issue. And them getting on the same page has been an issue. Has it been the number one issue? I don't know, but it's the most frustrating considering, in my mind, it's the most frustrating considering it's Aaron Rodgers and it shouldn't be like this. And you got got wide receivers running the wrong route, him calling them out for it, him and Garrett Wilson, who should be having a much better season than he did under Zach Wilson, having pretty much the same season because they can't get on the same page. I mean, bring in a guy who will be on the same page with Aaron Rodgers, sees the game in a similar way on some level because they were so successful together. He's going to be able to communicate it maybe to the wide receivers, and maybe it'll help the wide receiver room. And that'll, one less thing, as the great Forrest Gump used to say. I don't have to worry about money ever again. One less thing. Let's eliminate problems instead of standing there going, there is no fix. That's it for me. Always fun to end with bread. Everybody, have a great day. The warm-up show is next. Fliegelman, thank you. Thank you guys for calling. Thank you for listening. Again, do not wait. You do not have to wait till 2 a.m. I will be with you at 7 p.m. I'm filling in for Keith later today. So right after the Lugauer, I'll be with you taking your phone calls. Until then, have the great rest of your day. I'll get to say let's go Mets before I talk to you next. So let's go Mets. Everybody have a great day. I'm out of here. Bye-bye. Warm-up show's next.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. WFAN. New York. It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at tmobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.